So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 first, and we're going to read verses 3 and 4, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to read a good lengthy part, verses 1 through 11, and throughout the study you will see the connection and why I believe it's important that we grasp and understand this, and us moving forward as the body of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read verses 3 and 4. And it reads, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's go verses 1 through 11. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And verse 1 reads, "But I determined this with myself, that I will not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad? But the same which is made sorry by me. And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I come, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might, which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrarywise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye will confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgave anything, I forgave also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an edge over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Amen. That was a lengthy portion of introduction, and I want to give you a heads up in the direction where we are going with this introduction. A nice marker, right?
Yeah. Super
voice. Amen. In this age of grace, I think it's of utmost importance that the body of Christ really see themselves as a unified living body. And in doing so, we have to recognize that we are and we should be striving together. But as we strive together, there's distractions, there's hindrances that cause us to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And the more I'm ignorant in you and we as the member of the body of Christ, as we become ignorant or stay stale of what Satan devices is, it hinders the first passage that we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And I know some of us is looking like, hey, Toby's going through Romans. We absolutely are. But I wanted to take a little sidebar this week. I want to take a little sidebar because when we're ignorant, I say again, of Satan devices, we start to let distractions lose our focus on the big picture of the body of Christ of why we are still here today. While we're still here today, our job is what 1 Timothy chapter 2 gave us in verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the will of God, and God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. If we stay ignorant of Satan's devices, and I believe as this dispensation of grace comes to an end, they are absolutely going to be ignorant of Satan's devices towards the body of Christ. And one of the number one things that I believe Satan is after is us not striving together. Us not striving, us not laboring together, thinking that me and you, we are to just do what we need to do for ourselves. We are members of the body of Christ. Amen. Come with me. Stay right here for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at me. Look with me again at verse 7. It reads, so that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. As we read the entirety of those 11 verses, I hope you saw Paul use words that express oneness, that express even though this individual needed to be comforted and did something that they had to forgive him on, he recognized that individual as a unit with those who he was writing to. Amen? Look at verse 3. And I wrote the same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them out of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you who? In ye all. Come on. That my joy is the joy of who? You all.
Corinthians 2, and it was verses 1 through 11.
On three points that I want us to look at. Look at verse 10. He says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgave also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the who? Person of Christ. This is a big deal. One of the first things I want us to see, in order for us to strive together, because you'll be surprised, because we come together don't mean we strive together. One of the things about, I believe, us being ignorant of Satan's devices, we totally forget that although we are in this body, although we are members of the body of Christ, we still offend each other. We still have fault with one another. And I'm here to tell you, if we don't practice this forgiveness towards one another, it will hinder us striving together. It will hinder us. And now I want you to see, back to verse 7 again, look what he says. So that contrarywise, ye ought rather to forgive him. And what's the next two words? Come on. Now, this is a big deal. Individuals that you have ought with, individuals that save. I'm talking to members of the body of Christ, with members of the body of Christ. When an individual offends you, who saved? When an individual finds fault in you, this is essential for this to be. This is essential for this to be. And that's what makes us so unique as any other group of people coming together. We forgive in the person of Christ. The forgiveness that we have, which came from the understanding that our head, Christ, gives his body. Amen. So we are all thinking with the mind of Christ, with our head, and all we got to say is, is there any member of the body of Christ who has not received forgiveness from Christ? No. No. So all members should have this doctrine of forgiveness running rampant through them. Amen. So when you find aught with me and I find aught with you, I don't just forgive. I got to guess what else in mind, or what I should also have in mind. I got comfort in mind. Now, this is, I say again, this is a unique thing, and we understand that this thing does not come from us, right? Of who? It's in the person of Christ. And if we think this will not hinder us striving together, you know what? You got fault with me? I'm not forgiving your fault. I'm going to let it fortify, build, and turn into something real nasty. Now, me and you need to have comfort. And in the person of Christ, the forgiveness that I first received, I should now be dispensing. You don't think that will hinder us striving together? If I want to hold that all against you? Of all of us got all in this room with at least somebody else in this room, you think it won't hinder our progress of being an effective ambassador for Christ? It really will. Come to 1 Timothy again, 1 Timothy chapter 2. We just want to jot these basic things down. And I'm reading for this, 1 Timothy chapter 2, what we already read, verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the Lord. True. So God has his desire for all to be what? Okay, and all to do what? Come to the truth, right? If we are a member of the body of Christ, is that us? We are saved, and now we have what? We have came to an understanding of truth. The first understanding of truth that I'm after us really embracing, we got a truth concerning forgiveness. We got a truth concerning forgiveness that who needed it? All of us. We did, I did, you did, us, members of the body of Christ. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians 3. Let's start reading at verse 9. Ephesians 3. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by who? Now, I'm going through verses that we already know. We already know this. But do we totally understand all of what we know we're supposed to be expressing, explaining, and declaring to what? Together. Our understanding of togetherness supposed to be example-like to the whole world. They're supposed to understand what unity is by looking at the body of Christ. Amen? So, Ephesians 3:8. A couple of things I want to talk about this. In verse 8, he said, fellowship of the what? Mystery. Fellowship of the mystery. Amen? Oh, verse, thank you. I need that occasionally. Not 3:8 to 3:9, right? Thank you. Fellowship of the mystery. What did it say about this fellowship of the mystery? That it was hidden in who? It was hidden in God, amen? This fellowship of the mystery that was hidden in God, I'm going to go G-O-G, and I don't mean no God. Dispensation of the grace of God, amen? Now, this dispensation of the grace of God is so special because it's it's Jew nor Greek, right? Circumcision nor uncircumcision. Is that significant for us in this dispensation of the grace of God?
Yes.
I mean, this is a big deal. This is what the dispensation of the grace of God is. Jew and Greek, same playing field, working together, not the Greek or the Gentile looking at the Jew, saying, we're following your lead. We're not following the lead of Jews in this dispensation of the grace of God. We're not respecting and reverencing the Jew as though we get a blessing as we reverence and put them what? And put them first. During the time past period, that's exactly the operation that the Jew and Gentile or the Jew and Greek they have one another, right? In the ages to come, when Hebrews starts to unfold again, that's the position again, right? But in this fellowship of the mystery, this information that was hidden in God, the dispensation of the grace of God, is neither Jew nor Greek, neither circumcision or uncircumcision, but Galatians 3:28, it lets us know ye are all one in who? This is a big deal. Do you know this? Do you know we're supposed to be striving together with the understanding of Romans through Philemon in this age of grace? This is a big deal. This is a big deal. You know how many individuals right now go into a place called church and they striving to dip individuals in water? They're striving to say you're saved because you was dipped in water. They're striving to say God is about to move in your life mightily because you just spoke in a foreign tongue. And it's all what? It's all false. You know, number one thing about, but it's sort of sad. Sometimes you can see them striving with their message of lies. Sometimes then we strive together with our message of truth. And back to the topic at hand, sometimes you see them dispensing more grace than those of us who can really explain grace. But now I want us all to take this personal, because now, what am I doing for us? Because I recognize I'm not me, but I'm we. But see, now this wouldn't get personal. When I say things about the body of Christ that the body of Christ is evident that we need to be working on, I put myself in that stead. Yeah, we need to be working on this. Meaning, I'm going to bring some type of understanding from the head to dispense always what the head is after me dispensing, not what the leg educated or schooled me in, but the head. All of our pure doctrine, all of our doctrine comes from Christ Himself. Amen? And this is vital as we move forward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. And I'm going through basics. I'm going through basics, but you know what? I believe that's one trick of us being ignorant of Satan's devices, when what's supposed to be in plain sight of us is no longer in plain sight. What we're supposed to be unified and concerned ourselves with, we just lost it. Have you ever looked for your keys and been work and been to work 2 or 3 hours late, missed that doctor appointment, missed that dentist appointment, couldn't pick your son or your daughter up because you didn't almost rip the couch in half, you didn't remove the refrigerator from the wall, all because the keys that you were looking for were simply in your back pocket, in plain sight. You didn't have to take another step. All you had to do was this. And it wrecked the entirety of the flow of your schedule for that day. It's done. You didn't waste the 2 or 3 hours. It's done. For any one of us who really has a consistent, persistent schedule that consists of you being here at a certain time and you being there at a certain time. So for those of us who don't got that, maybe you can't grasp, but when people are looking for you to be somewhere at a particular time, you understand how huge your time is for in order for you to be effective. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Let's start at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18 reads, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Do you see the plural sense? Do you see the body of Christ in those words? Do you see us? Let me repeat verse 19. "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Who was us? It's the body of Christ. We're supposed to be striving together, communicating what was committed unto us. And I'm about to get into some of the things we have to watch out for, but let's read verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for who?" Right. Who is the body of Christ? Is the body of Christ the ambassadors for Christ? Yeah. You know what that's saying? Let's think about that for a moment. Any word that God has for everybody in this age of grace is to come from the ambassadors for Christ. Somebody tell me I'm wrong. For an individual to know salvation, for an individual to know what God is doing in this age of grace, shouldn't it be those who are saved by Christ to declare what Christ is doing? Thank you. That's what I mean. Yeah. And that, guess who that is? That's Brother Jeremy and Sister Kim. That's Dave and Janet. That's our brother Jim, Sister Paula. That's me and my wife. That's Jackie Romney. That's Pastor Scott. Sister Ann. Brother Jordan. Sister Kai. Sister Wendy. Mike, that's you. Mama, that's you. Amen, Mike, that's you. Brooklyn, are we grabbing it? Matthew. Camera Crystal, I keep forgetting. I said everybody in this room, but it's so essential that everybody in this room see themselves, for those of us that faith, see us as united in striving together. I'm not segregating myself from you. You ain't segregating yourself from me. Why? Because we all don't do this for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. We understand the oneness that we have because the head is always trying to give instructions to the body. Work together. When was the last time a brick was dropped on your toe and you said, it's just my toe. It's just my toe. My toe is really not a piece of you. I do what I do. The toe do what it do. Never. Am I right or am I wrong? But sometimes it seems as though we think that way about one another, or we don't have that connection with one another. This is me and your blood, whether we are your son or your daughter blood. They say blood is thicker than water. Christ's blood outweighs our blood, even that we have as kin. When we begin to understand that, we start to see the way that our head is thinking about members of his body. We always say to our sons and daughters, y'all family, stop that. Stop bickering and arguing. Stop bickering. That's your brother. That's your sister. And we take pride in some of them that don't we? And we really take pride as they grow up and they start to take pride in, that's my sister. That's my brother. I love my sister. My dad taught me how to love my sister. My mom taught me how to love my brother. We take pride in seeing them care for one another. Do you know how much pride Christ takes in us when we care for one another as we are? Especially when we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Understand, the gospel is in mind here. I'm not trying to turn this into a lovey-dovey thing that's really not surrounded by, starts with, and ends with the gospel. It starts with the gospel, it ends with the gospel, you know why? Because it's the gospel that saved us, and it came from our head. Okay? Let me finish verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. There's a couple things I want to bring out there. That first of all, our ambassadorship is of God. Second of all, what I want us to understand, something was given to us, and we are... Not to, but we are ministers of reconciliation. That's the ministry that was given to us, and what was given to us with the word of reconciliation. Amen. When I say us, I'm not talking about me alone. So everybody named that I have named in this room who is saved, to you was given the word of reconciliation. You see, when sometimes we can lose focus because some of us are never in the front of the room teaching. That's their ministry. They got it. That's their ministry. That's not my ministry. I'm always sitting down. My ministry is not to be a minister of reconciliation. I haven't been given the word of reconciliation. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. And it's important for me, Pastor Scott, Pastor Leeway, when we up here, we tell you, yes, you have. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. And we know this. 1 Corinthians 15. Now it's important as ministers of reconciliation that we know what is the word of reconciliation, right? Now this is basic. This is basic. Verses 3 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and was buried and rose again on the third day according to the what? Now this is important. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4, talks about, excuse my right, in Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection, his death for our what? For our sins. All this is given to the body of Christ, which we are. Now understanding that, we go move on. Because there's things, this is what we always supposed to have in mind, but there's things that Satan want to stumble us up on that we're about to look at now. Satan wants us ignorant of certain things so that this is not our focus together. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. How many marriages, how many weddings you been at that, wow, it was just an awesome reason to say, that was a glorious wedding. That was just an awesome wedding. You look at the pictures of everybody smiling, the bride and the groom, and then 5, 6, 7 years later, you ask, what happened? Where were they on the day they got married, and how far away are that right? Are they away from that right now that they're looking to never stay under the same roof again? What happened? What did they lose sight of? Do you think it's possible for the body of Christ to lose sight on what they're supposed to be striving together, waiting for? The answer is yes, they are. They are going to lose sight of it. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We was here earlier during Sunday school. Let's start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren. Do what I always want to remember, or I want you guys to get in your mind. When you hear Paul writings and you see this word, my brethren, please think of the entirety of the body of Christ. Especially in this passage. Do you understand how sometimes even our reading, we sort of like single out ourselves in passages of talking about us as the body of Christ as a whole? I mean, I think this is essential. When you've been married for maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years and you say, that's my kind, that's my this, that's my that, maybe you don't understand that that's ours. What's mine is yours. When it's always mine, that's mine. You maybe really don't get what marriage is about. And I'm here to say, I think that it would be more than wise to affiliate myself with members of the body of Christ, that I start seeing myself as a member of the body and not Rondell Hamilton. Rondell has a function and a purpose in life. I got to do what I got to do. That's dangerous thinking. I'm supposed to affiliate myself with members of his body, right? Amen. Okay, let's continue. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be, the whole body of Christ, may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. As a member of the body of Christ, it's so essential that I never forget the basics 101 about spiritual warfare. It ain't with you, Mark. It ain't with you, Brother Jack. It ain't with you, Brother Jeremy. Spiritual warfare. Do you understand how much hostility sometimes sits with members of the body of Christ against members of the body of Christ? And don't tell me that that will not affect us moving forward. So we got Ephesians 6 and we got 10 through 13. And it lets us know what we want to. We want to learn to get this. We want to start to concern ourselves. I want to think of me as we. So when I see Stan, you know what I see? Stand together. Not so much, I don't know what's going on in his life or her life. I mean, they're going through whatever they're going through, what they need to do. They know they need to put on the whole armor of God. I don't know what's going on with them. Stand with them. Assist them. Call them. See about them. And we all can use some growth in this area, right? Continually. But get this. Don't just think about when you go through who ain't calling you or you calling them. Now we got to concern ourselves with what information am I giving her when I call her? Who comfort am I giving him when I call him? Who comfort do I want to receive? Do you understand? I believe this will make us so effective in caring for one another that it will really do something. And I'm saying this for Grace Family Bible Church. We can just grow little by little like this. I'm not saying we're not good with that. But what I am saying is, how about I start to step out a little more? And everybody and all of us put a mirror in our face and say, okay, me too. Me too. Me too. Amen? I'm not going to write this down. It's in my notes. Satan does not want us to strive together with the message of grace. He doesn't want us to be united with the message of grace. Hear me, listen. Let's get together for breakfast, lunch, and dinner occasionally, okay? But getting together for breakfast, lunch, and dinner occasionally, and just breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that ain't striving together. Let me not deceive myself. If we go get together for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we can still talk some sports. We still talk some weather. We still talk what is going on in popular news for that month or whatever. But should not the bedrock and the foundation of it be us thriving and moving forward as ambassadors for Christ, as members of the body of Christ? What we're supposed to, what the head wants the body to be about. This is precious. It's not even, it is serious, but we have to embrace it with some preciousness. This is precious. Amen. So now we want to look at some of the things that hinder. Our faults, our offenses, and this is real big. You see, Satan wants us to take our mind off from what we're supposed to be doing, and he wants us to look at all of these things within us. See, you see his faults? You can't work together with him. She always offending people. You can't. I know she's saved. I know Christ is your head. Got problems offending people. He or she, they ignorant of certain things. Do you think there's individuals or you occasionally have thought this way towards a brother or sister in Christ? Now, when I have thought this way, that's the furthest thing from my mind, thinking about that individual and striving together to make all this known. Do you think that's wise on Satan's behalf? That's wise on his behalf to get us what? Biting and bickering at one another. Isn't it? That's so wise on his behalf. And notice, come back to 2 Corinthians 2 for a moment. Notice when Paul says, we are not ignorant of his devices. He was talking about an individual who offended somebody who they needed to forgive, who they needed to comfort, that Paul says, I forgave them already. Now comfort them and bring them in and let's strive together. Do you understand the big deal of this? Don't forgive her. Don't forgive her. And really don't comfort her. Our head teaches us how to long suffer. Teaches us how to be gentle. He teaches us what he does to his body. That's why when we are at fault, We run to who to find comfort?
The Word of God.
Christ. We run, when I'm at fault, I run to the Scriptures to find comfort. So now when I call you and tell you, I can't believe what I said. When you in that Word and when you study in that Word, you are so in tune with the mind of Christ, you know where to turn to. You know how to assist me. You know how to tell me, listen, you ain't alone. And let me tell you maybe something I can't believe I said. We don't play church, I'm better than you. We don't play Mr. and Mrs. Self-Righteous. We don't have to. We ain't earning any stripes. Amen. I said, go back to 2 Corinthians 2. Please. Let's read verse 10 and 11 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Paul says, to whom ye forgave anything, I forgave also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Why did you do it though, Paul? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know what a device is? A device is built with a certain means in mind. I mean, it has a plan to why it's formed a particular way. Shovels, the way tractors are built, the way an airplane is built, the way a 18-wheeler is built. They're built for design for an end result in mind, which is why you see, I don't even know how big some of the wheels on 18-wheelers are bigger than some SUVs, the wheels alone. But when you understand the tons that they carry, you know why not. Now, Satan would have us glory in our fault, accuse our brother in his and her faults. Amen. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's read the first couple of verses, please. And keep in mind, he's talking to everyone in this in these verses we're about to read. They're all saved individuals. Verse 1, dare any of you have a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the who? Do you? Or do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world, and if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? This is something. Because in 2 Corinthians 10, up with 2, he was talking about us forgiving. In 1 Corinthians 6, it seems as though some of these matters that they had problems forgiving one another with was small. You ever think about after you have an argument or a dispute with somebody how small it really was? But some of the pain that it caused. Verse 3, continue. Know ye not that we shall judge angels, how much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are what? Least esteemed in the church. Now watch the next couple words why he even say this. I speak to your shame. These small matters that it seemed like you guys got to go to unsaved individuals about, even things when a brother cheats you, you just can't handle. You're going to see that. Let's continue. Verse 5. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that should be able to judge between his who? Brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother in that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a what? A fault among you. There's a wrong among you. There's some error going on with how you guys are operating, Paul is telling us. Because you go to law with who? Another, to law one with another. Why do ye not rather do what? Take wrong. Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? You know what that word defrauded means? Cheated. I can't let nobody cheat me. I can't let nobody play me. Do you understand who is our head? We have to remember where our counsel comes from. When I forget who I am, get my counsel from, I forget how I'm supposed to handle certain situations concerning my brother and sister in the Lord. Look at verse 8. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. And that your brethren. We ought not have this understanding. Galatians 6. Read the first three verses. Brethren, and once again, he's talking to individuals who are saved, dealing with another individual who's saved, who is at a fault. Amen? Galatians 6, down there, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It has something to do with a loneliness, with a humility in mind, that the same trial that this individual going through, that they maybe fail at, you totally understand is maybe something in the future or something that you already went through that you failed at. But then, I like the way you say it, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness. It really has some understanding about who we are and yet some of the things that we still lack. One of the things that we still lack is we have not put on the body of glorification yet. And because we have not put on the body of glorification, look at this. Your life and my life, no matter how much we study and read, and let's always study and read the Word of God, right with the Bible. It's going to stay on the rotation of faults within ourselves and within the brethren. Are you done committing faults? Are you done offending people? Are you done being ignorant of certain things at certain times? So guess what me and you both need? We need to be meek towards one another. We need to restore. We need to assist one another, whether it's in doctrine, whether it's in behavior, or any practice that we understand one needs assistance and I need assistance. Is that a wise position for a member of the body of Christ to have towards his brother and sister in Christ? Do you think that's helpful to have that position as we strive together? Ephesians 4. Let's start at verse 15. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, verse 15 lets us know. Speak the truth in love, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him. Who is to him?
Christ.
Christ, amen. Up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Listen to the unity, how the body is to view and understand every member of the body. Verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of what? Every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you understand the accountability that we have to one another, for one another edifying in love? Like, I don't know about you, I strive in accountability. Meaning, it's some things that if I was left to my own, I don't know how consistent and how responsible I would be. I'm just being honest. It may shock some of you. I'm just being honest. But when individuals look for my responsibility for the sake of us being accountable one to another, it sort of helped me. It sort of helped me with the Marines and the Army sort of understanding I got your fist. Understanding you go have mine and I got yours, it sort of helped me really stand up a little more intense, a little more aware, knowing that even if not for my sake, I gotta stay up and be able to look out for his sake. Because he's watching mine. It helps me a little bit, knowing somebody is praying for me, knowing somebody is thinking for me, knowing and seeing someone long suffer with me, it does something for me for the sake of now dispensing that to someone else. It does for me. It does for me. Okay. Okay. Let's stay in Ephesians. Now let's go down to verse 29. Ephesians 4:29, and it reads, let no rough communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of what? Amen. That's when the grieving the Spirit goes stop. Until that, I'm sorry, hopefully they'll decrease, but they always go be present with us. Amen. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I have to keep in mind this is written to understand what I ought not do just to all men, but really the body of Christ. Or you can put them both in the same scale. Whatever the case is, we really, it's certain things that you really ought not say to your brother or sister. It's certain feelings we really ought not have for our brothers and sisters, for our moms and dads. Individuals of our family, once again, our blood relationship to Christ is bigger and bigger than our blood relationship with our family on this earth. 32. This is what we have. This is what we saw Paul practicing in 2 Corinthians 2. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath done what? Forgiving you. This is supposed to be our mindset. Come to Colossians chapter 3. Let's start at verse 12. Colossians 3 and 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, body of Christ. This is what we put on for one another. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Think about dispensing this to one another as I say this. We really got to make this personal. I'm not just reading. I'm reading how we ought to function with one another. I'm reading what every joint ought to be supplying to one another. Meaning, I dropped the brick on my feet, my hands. Comfort that feet. Comfort that feet. Wrap it up. Soak it. Soak the other feet. Help it get some ice on it. This is so basic, but sometimes we forget how basic this is, right? This is basic. Supply the comfort. Supply it. Middle of verse 12 still. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. Now this is how we do this. Humbleness of mind. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You know what that forbearing has in mind? It's dispensing long-suffering and patience with those who injure you. Those who don't take the same position you have for caring for the body, but yet you're going to care for them. Those who continue maybe to find fault with you, find offenses towards you, and ignorant of the grace that we're dispensing or you're dispensing towards me, but yet you continue to be forbearing, the long-suffering with me. This is how the body ought to function with members of the body. In the verse 13, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. See the do ye? That's the plural sense. So body, do that to the body. It's the head giving us this instruction, right? Last portion of scripture, Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Philippians 1 sums up everything. It sums up everything. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, you guys as a whole, that ye stand, you guys as a whole, fast in one spirit with one mind, somebody help me, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is our mindset. We're supposed to be, this union should be so ingrained in us. So ingrained in us that we're not ignorant of your devices, Satan. And we are going to stay unified. And we are going to forgive one another. And we are going to comfort someone who finds a fault with us and offense towards us or ignorant in some sort of doctrine or anything. And we're going to strive together with that oneness of mind. Thanks and glory be to God. That's all we have for right now. Questions or comments? Amen. Yes. Glory to God.
really appreciate it.